Warning, this episode is commentary on Lil Nas X video, Montero. The views are not those of our sponsors. Viewer discretion is advised. This is adult content. Welcome to another episode of the Chaycast with your host, Tapacon, Steve, Jay, and Jonathan. Special guest, comedian Steve Hill, a.k.a. Satan.
Welcome back, everybody. This is another episode of the Chaycast. Everybody kind of go around and introduce yourself. I'm Steve.
I'm Jake.
I am Steve Hill, a.k.a. Satan.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Ford. I'm at the Chay Clinic here in Dallas. I'm the outreach coordinator. So, yeah, that's what's going on over here on this side.
And I'm Tapacon.
Y'all know Tapacon.
That's all.
Hey, so real quick, Steve Hill, introduce yourself and tell my the crowd a little bit about yourself so that we all know.
Did they freeze again? I think they did.
Oh, they unfreeze.
Slowly. You got a terrible connection because it's
yeah, let me try some things real quick here. So I'm gonna close out all my notes. Oh yeah, okay, so now try it. So I closed everything out. I just have this open now. The website, I had the Satanic Temple website open. It was draining all.
Yeah, draining all your energy. Yeah. that's what Satan would do to you.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself, Steve.
I was born on the north side of St. Louis, 1961, about 2 weeks after our most gracious and faithful leader, President Barack Obama. He was actually our last real president. And I moved out to University City in 1968. That's the suburbs, kind of like outside the city limits. It's kind of the county. Lived around the corner from Nelly's people. Nellie's uncle used to be a friend of mine. He used to, you know, hang out with my sisters. They were the same age, but you know, it was a good time. But at the age of 17, I had to step out and get into the world. So I joined the United States Marine Corps. Stayed there for about 5 years. Went to L.A. Worked in aerospace as a computer numerical control machinist, working on aircraft parts for like the B-2 bombers, the stealth bombers, and all of that. Nice. I got bored with that, and I decided to go do 10 years in prison as a correctional officer. So if someone's mind went the other way, I was an officer for 10 years at two different maximum security prisons.
Nice.
And kind of got, you know, I kind of had it out with the facility. So I just took an early retirement. And in the meantime, I went and worked security for a couple of middle schools, which was kind of like working at the prison. But at the prison, I didn't have to worry about getting shot.
Wow.
Then after that, I opened my own real estate appraisal business in 2004. That was about 3 years before the mortgage meltdown happened. Mm. And about the same time, I decided I got to say something. So I always had a fascination with comedy and had a lot of, you know, heroes in comedy, just like everyone else does. And George Carlin was my favorite hero because, to me, he spoke truth to power the most.
Right.
So George Carlin's my hero. I actually know his daughter, and I've been at some conferences with her before. Real cool lady, told me the real about comedy, which I appreciate her and love her for that.
Yeah.
And you know, that's about it. I stand up comedy and my business, and you know, trying to wake my people up to inform them that it's absolutely asinine to worship the same God of the people who used to own you. It makes no sense to me.
Right.
That means that religion is going to do you no good. But yet and still, we continue to worship the God of the people who are currently oppressing us.
Right. Wow.
So yeah, that's about me in a nutshell.
Well, I know one more thing about you. I like to share. I know that you ran for Senate. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, I ran for state Senate. Actually, I ran three times. I ran once as a write-in candidate, which I was the top vote getter in the write-in candidacy. And then I actually ran two times after that with my name actually on the ballot, where in 2016, when Trump was on the ballot, I actually received about 12% of the vote.
Right.
Running as a Black Satanist. I mean, I was in Time Online magazine and TMZ and LA Times and, you know, media like all over the world as a Black Satanist. It's like groundbreaking. Nobody in America has ever run as a Black Satanist.
Yes.
For anything, not even Dog Catcher.
Right. Yeah, that was the time I met you. I met you during that time. Like Bernie was on the ticket and you were running. And that's when I met you and first heard about you. And we've been, you know, in contact and communicating with one another ever since.
Yeah.
Now, right now, when our audience can't see this, but you're wearing a shirt and the shirt says contradiction.
The shirt says the movie Contradiction. My boy in Atlanta named Jeremiah Kamara. You know, we've been doing conferences together and things like that for the secular community for years. But he had us a brilliantly made movie. My cats like to get involved in shit.
It's all good. Hey,
yeah, he has a brilliant movie named Contradiction. And it is just basically asked the simple question, for all of our loyalty, dedication, and faith that we have in the Black church, what have they done for us? That's the question that the movie Contradiction asks. What good is it? You know, when we know we're up a systemic problem that's part of our federal government, and it can only be changed by legislation, which would affect laws that will put laws in order where we can't keep getting fucked over, basically. I hope this isn't a PG show. Hey, but yeah, that's what this shirt is about, man. He came out to my house. We, you know, did a little West Coast tour in my RV, went up and down meeting with certain secular, skeptical, atheist, humanist groups. And we were showing them the movie, you know, trying to get it out there.
Right.
I guess we should have had Lil Nas X with us.
Yes, indeed.
We would have been much more effective, I'm sure.
I sent you a video recently. Actually, I said, have you seen this? And you've been like, oh yeah, my kids showed me this already. There's a guy named Lil Nas X. He did a song called Montanero, Montero, and Montero, call me by your name. And when we come back after the break, I want to kind of get your opinion about that song from a very unique perspective. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like we should do this.
All right, we'll be right back.
With QCare Plus, you can now get PrEP prescribed online and delivered discreetly to your door. Our team of experts makes access to PrEP convenient and easy with online doctor visits and at-home labs. 99% of our patients pay $0 for PrEP. Prepped and ready to go with QCarePlus.com.
What is this?
All right, you ready?
Wait, I need my fix. Hang on.
You ready, Jay? Anyway, so we're going to...
All right.
First off, your shirt says Austin.
30 seconds. I got to do
upside down.
Not
cross.
Even that. Just hold on. 20 seconds. That was part of my plug thing. Remember the plug that I launched?
Oh yeah, for plug.
That was one of the shirts I made.
Oh, nice.
Sold
I think Steve's gonna like to see that one.
I thought it was pretty prominent or evident that I liked that kind of stuff.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Positive Women's Network USA is a nationwide community of women living with HIV. Every day, PWN USA informs and mobilizes women living with HIV and allies to advocate for change that improve their lives and uphold their rights. They will provide you with the tools you need to make a difference and find your place in advocacy. To learn more about PWN, the difference they make, and how to get involved yourself, visit pwn-usa.org. That's pwn-usa.org. You can contact them at 510-698-3811 or info@pwn-usa.org.
What did you grab? Was that?
He said, "What did you grab? Was that unholy water?"
No, man. I'm in the South in my vacation house, and I left my in her car. Hey,
nice.
So she brought it over. That's a take home, actually.
What is that? I saw the lucky number 7, but I don't know what that
Seven. I've been drinking 7 and 7. Actually, since I was 18 years old.
Yeah, that's old school.
Yeah, my favorite, you know, mellow out drink.
I thought Fireball was mine.
So I'll take a sip, Seagram's, I'd be fucking out like a baby.
Okay, that's true. Okay, so we're back, everybody, after a few technical glitches and some issues to handle, and we're going to continue our conversation. So, I got you all here because I wanted to talk about a video that was recently released. It's by an artist called Lil Nas X. He did a song called Montero, Call Me By Your Name. It came out on March 26th, Friday, and it blew up. By the following, I mean, I think right now it's probably still number one on Spotify, number one on YouTube, and climbing the charts. I personally foresee this probably being another Grammy for him. Easy.
No doubt. Probably
also will win a couple of MTV Music Awards as well. So the song is extremely groundbreaking, pop culture shattering. It's one of those musical moments that everything will be different. The culture is going to be different afterwards. And I wanted to kind of get you guys feedback on that. Jonathan, I sent you a link. I want to start with you and just tell me, like, you know, what were your first reactions to seeing it? What are your thoughts about it? And so on.
Well, I guess like my first reaction to it was just like, whoa, there was no fucks given when he put this video out. I think it was, you know, just beneficial in the fact that it just gave other people from the gay community or, you know, LGBTQ to just, you know, live in their truth. And despite what others may think or what others may say, he just kind of like took it, harnessed it, and used it to, you know, create a masterpiece. And a lot of that had a lot of Christian, like, you know, had a lot of Christian, I guess, like biblical
references.
Like, yeah. So, but he used that and it clearly made some people upset, but made him a lot of money. So, I mean, who got the last laugh?
It's marketing, right? If you're going to market something, market it to death.
Right.
No pun intended. Hey, Tabacon, what was your view about it?
It was hot. Loved it. Yeah. You know, I've been, Lil Nas X is great. He's a very, we're a Gen Z artist. And I'm a millennial, and I, you know, it's very like, oh, I get to keep up with the kids, knowing these things. You know, he came out as gay last year before. I mean, it's been too long now, 2 years ago. So, which was great. You know, I love seeing more queer artists out in the, you know, the popular zeitgeist. And then, but his videos have been pretty tame. You know, Old Town Road was just cowboy stuff, and his other stuff has been really artistic, but maybe not so blatantly queer. And this one's just straight up, like, giving Satan a lap dance, and I love it. I love it.
What about you there, Jay?
I actually thought it was funny and kind of cute, but like, I felt like this was like the Disney version of Satan. Like if you had Avatar, but like a bad drug trip and it was just satanic at the end of the day. I thought it was visually appealing, but you know, I kind of grew up around dark and evil stuff and the devil, and I consider myself a byproduct of Satan himself. Not obviously not the devil, but you know. And so I thought it was like basically like, I guess I like the fairy tale version of hell. And it was just beautiful. It was the imagery was impressive. The design was pressed. I mean, I was blown away by how artistic it was. But I just don't see why people were too offended by it or just made it into a bigger deal. I felt like social media made people want to make it a bigger deal than it actually was.
It did. So real quick, show Steve on the camera your shirt. So we can see each other in the studio here. Can you see his shirt, Steve?
Oh yeah,
it's Austin with the crossroads upside down for the T.
Hey, that, I don't know what reference to Austin is that? Austin the city?
Yeah, we're in Austin, Texas. I call it Austin.
Okay, well let me tell you, the first time I performed comedy for the atheist / secular / humanist / skeptical / non-believer community was in Austin, Texas at the American Atheist Conference. I did it for Mandisa Thomas out of Atlanta. She has a Black Atheist, Black Non-Believers group. And it was in Austin. And hey, I took my wife and kids, and we had an absolute blast. I mean, we didn't feel any tension, any of that racial tension.
Right on.
Because,
right.
You know, we're a mixed race couple. My wife is Asian and Hispanic.
Nice.
And we didn't feel like any tension, anything. We walked into with the kids and, you know, checked out the stores, the little shops, the breweries, the diners. We felt like there was no inherent animosity towards our outward appearance, which relates to skin color. And, you know, I'm just a fan of Austin. If you could send me one of those goddamn shirts, I'll wear that bitch like a motherfucker.
Hey man, I appreciate that. I made that myself. I know you can't see it right now. I'll stand up in a second. And those who are listening, you obviously can't see it, but it's basically just the word Austin with the T in Austin upside down. There's a giant cross.
Oh, I know.
And then
trust me, I know.
The sin in Austin is in red font. So opposed to everything else. So I thought it was clever. I made it as kind of like a joke, but it's kind of true to my heart. And so a lot of people love it. So that's what sells. People love
tongue
it.
Tongue in cheek, man.
I thought it was cute.
So I sent you a link.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
So you seen the video.
Yeah, you can send me one of those. That way next time I go back perform in Austin, I'll wear that bitch.
Yeah, just do a shout out and maybe a donation and that'd be awesome.
Hey, so
there you go.
Real quick. So Steve, give me your impression. I mean, so you understand, I mean, you're affiliated with the Satanic Temple. You know who those people are down in LA.
Yeah.
And great people. I went to an event. They had an event there one time. It was awesome. But tell me from your viewpoint, your thoughts about this video and its impact on the culture and, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this video is, man, I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it. Actually, I'm the first Black Satanist I ever known. So to see this young man pop up, snapping the devil's neck, give him a lap dance and proclaiming to be, fuck you, I'm Satan now. Because that's what my stage name is Satan. And I don't have my horns. I think I left them in California. But I usually have two horns on when I do podcasts. But to me, it's like, to me personally, it's like, okay, the cavalry has arrived.
Right.
You know, it's like I thought I was the only one crazy enough to be fucking free enough to troll religion with their own bullshit.
Right.
You know, because for some people, especially African Americans, if you tell them you are atheist, the first thing that comes to their mind is they conjure up thoughts of evil and all these negative connotations that go along with the word Satan.
Right.
So, you know, when I saw him doing this, I'm like, okay, maybe he can get these motherfuckers to understand. You know, I'm doing all this shit for my people, trying to free them and emancipate their mind from religion. And, you know, they're still like they in 1863.
Right.
it's like, no, we ain't falling for this shit. These are the people that fucking oppressed you. These are the people that own you, property, terrorized you, murdered you, humiliated you. And you gonna worship the same motherfucking God that they worship? I don't use the N-word, but it's like, are you fucking crazy? Are you mentally fucking insane that you would do this? They have no good intentions with us. We're supposed to be all God's children. If we're all God's children, this motherfucker owes us child support.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, there it is. You heard it. That's the opinion of a self-proclaimed.
Oh yeah, I got a lot more to say, but I'm trying to be good today. I'm on vacation.
I mean, people were getting mad at Ariana Grande for saying God is a woman, and you know,
yeah,
it's just.
Well, how do we know she's not? If we gonna make shit up,
mm-hmm.
I think we should make God a woman, because women have more compassion, more love, more everything than men.
Well,
fuck, men start wars. Fuck that.
I'll say this much. If God was a woman, I don't think she would have kicked Lil Nas out of heaven. So that's what the video is about. But we'll talk more about that. We'll come back here in just a moment.
Shit.
Che Relief has been established by the Center for Health Empowerment to support the people of Honduras in the aftermath of Hurricanes Eta and Iota. We are currently taking material donations at our clinics and monetary donations through our GoFundMe. To learn more and support Che Relief's efforts in Honduras, visit us on Instagram, where our handle is at Che Clinic, our website, cherelief.org, or give us a call. Our Austin phone number is 512-840-1273, and our Dallas phone number is 972-432-7783. Again, we are taking both monetary and material donations. Thank you.
It was worse the second time, man.
Well, we'll continue to talk a little more here, but we'll come back and talk about your shot a little bit. Well, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. During the break, everybody's chilling, but Jake's over here talking about his little bout with his shot. You got your second shot, right?
Yep, got my second shot of Pfizer, and it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be, but it definitely was more painful than I thought it was going to be. Like, no joke. Like, the first one, maybe because I had one of those, like, stress balls in my hand the first time I got my shot. The second one, the guy was just like, on three, one, and we're in. And I was like, oh!
But that's actually good, though. That wasn't better for you, or did you want to be prepared for it more so?
I mean, when I would get piercings, or, like, when I would, like, you know, draw blood for people and during our seances, I would be like, on three, one, two, and we're in. This guy just went straight up, one, and we're in.
Okay, so me personally, I prefer that technique when it comes to shots. But speaking of, you said something about a drop of blood. Let's get back to the subject matter, talking about Nas's, the video that Nas did, the Montero video. He had some merchandise attached to that. And some of the merchandise that was with that was a pair of shoes that pretty much sold like immediately, but allegedly they put a drop of human blood in each shoe. Did you guys hear about that?
I did. I tried to get a pair, but I think my boy Lucian Greaves at Satan Temple, we kinda missed the boat a little bit, because it's a long story, but I wish I would have had a pair. I would have bought my own pair.
They sold out in an hour.
Yeah.
Under an hour.
Right.
They sold out.
But I think we had an inside track. I think we could have got a pair. You know?
Really? I think they're trying to, a judge, I think, is going to try to stop them from being shipped out. So all that's still up in the air.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
It'll be interesting. But getting back to what we're talking about, again, I wanted to kind of focus on the Nas video, Montero. Tavakon, do you know much about the song that attached to it? If not, I got some questions for you. Like, are you familiar with the movie? And can you talk, or are you familiar with the movie Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. I mean, so part of me is like excited that, you know, he's taking that, like when people hear Call Me By Your Name, hopefully they'll start thinking of this song that is good versus a movie that is not that great, in my opinion.
Right.
But essentially, like the movie is very much about kind of a summer romance, coming out experience ish. And that's what Little Nas is talking about as well. Like it's, and kind of going with what, Steve Hill. How am I differentiating? Do you want to be called Steve Hill, Mr. Hill?
You call me
Satan. I kind of like Satan was saying, like you get, especially for queer people, I would think, obviously I'm an Asian person, so I can't speak for it, but for Black queer people, especially, like you grow up in a very religious environment, you're told like, oh, you're gay, you're going to hell, you know, just very blatantly like that. You grow up with that
right
thought, that those images, and it's great to see like him kind of reclaiming that for himself, like, oh, if I'm going to hell for this, like,
right,
I'd rather do this and be myself. I'd rather like sleep with Satan than not sleep with anyone. You know,
I think the funny part in the movie was, or in the video, is that, you know, like he says, according to Nas, that was his interpretation of it. You know, like no matter what I do, I'm going to get blamed. You know, and so then, you know, so I go to heaven. He goes, if I made the video so that I went to heaven, people would be pissed. Oh my God, I can't believe they let him in heaven. And so he makes a movie that he goes up and he gets cast down. And he's like, you know, if you're going to be in hell, you might as well rule it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the most important part to remember is that it's entertainment, okay? It's designed to provoke thought, to provoke a response. And a lot of the reaction videos I saw, the first time, people's mouths just dropped open. Whether they liked it or not, they were just in absolute shock at the ending, like, oh! And that's what it's supposed to do. It invokes emotion. Like, Jonathan, what did you think about it? And what do you think of the music itself? Like, is, like, you're big on social media. Are people talking about it? Is it a pretty popular song to you?
I follow people that follow me. They enjoyed the video overall, I think. A lot of people are making, you know, memes and stuff like that about, well, if they were upset about him dancing with Jesus, would you rather him dance on dancing with Satan? Would they rather him dance with Jesus? And so like it was a lot of memes going around, but overall I think everybody enjoyed the video. And the song was also pretty cool too, and he discussed what the song meant. So yeah.
You came in completely broken up. So Satan. In the video there were some things that were of note. Like there was a pentagram in hell, all right. Can you talk much about the symbol or the imagery that you saw in that video and how accurate it was, or, you know, like I'm assuming that he's talking about Dante's Inferno and that he's riding the pole down to the Inferno. That's what I took out of it. Like, what are your thoughts about some of the pop culture that relates to people's views of Satanism as far as in your mind?
I think with some of his imagery, he was basically trying to conform to what our preconceived notions of descending
right
into hell.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, time to go.
Right.
You know, and the only way I'm going is down because you motherfuckers have judged me into being whatever evil there is. So
right.
I'm just going to ride this pole right on down to hell. You know, I got an express ticket. I ain't going to be stopping for a fucking transfer nowhere. I'm going straight to hell. So fuck you. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I feel this because that's the same way I feel with my comedy.
Right.
You know, I'm going to say what the fuck I want to say. And if you are offended, you can actually call an Uber and go fuck yourself. That's just how I feel.
Right.
So, man, you don't understand how, you know, I've been doing this shit for a while. I've been an activist, man, for a long time. And I decided to start doing comedy. But I'm like, man, okay, the Calvary has arrived. I ain't doing this shit. You know how you go to, I'm from LA. We got like gangs in LA. You know how you go to a gang fight and your gang don't show up. You just getting your ass kicked by everybody.
That's how you felt up until now.
That's how I've been feeling. Now it feels like my Calvary has showed up. I am not the only black person with the courage and the consciousness to realize that all of this Christianity, hypocritical, pick through the fucking Bible and make it work the way you want it to work bullshit is something for people who are basically weak, you know, and powerless. Fuck you. I'm never going to be weak and powerless. I will fight you. And if I have to fight you with your own mythological bullshit from some ancient fucking comic book, then that's what I will fight you with. Just to get you to understand.
Yeah, and he definitely called out the establishment. A lot of pop culture references. Mm-hmm. Some are talking about the pole dance. There was a artist named FKA Twigs, and she has a song called. He acknowledges that was one of the influences for that scene was that her video for that.
But she goes up to heaven, right? Is that it?
Yeah, I think she climbs up and where he was going down, but yeah. It's still. See,
that's where the courage comes in it. Go against the goddamn flow. Everybody else going up, go down and tell the goddamn truth, you know, about reality, about the injustice in the world. About the bigotry and the hypocrisy in religion and the politics and everything else systemic as it relates to treating people with the freedom and dignity so they can be full human beings and make themselves happy. Fuck what you think about me. I'm here to make me happy. This is my life. So I'm proud of the brother.
You mentioned full human beings. If you guys watch the video, there's actually a moment in it when they go by a tree, a shot of a tree, and there's writing on the tree. Did any of you guys catch that? I believe that the text on the tree is from it's Greek. It says so when they were cut in two, they longed for each other's, or they longed for each other. So when they were cut in two, they longed for each other. And it's from Plato's Symposium. And what it's talking about is soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that interesting. You know, there's just so many, not just modern day cult pop references, but even to as far back as ancient Greece. Again, that's like where that one scene was, which remind me of kind of, you ever see Bohemian Rhapsodies by Queen,
mm-hmm.
the song Bohemian Rhapsody, and there's the mm-hmm. trial. That was the trial, I think, that they kind of reference in that. So I just thought it very interesting how he just really just, not just modern day pop culture, but even going back as far as Greece to talk about pop culture.
Yeah. What he did was brilliant. Because he brought a lot of ammo to that video with him that people probably won't, you know, it'll take them a while to understand. But for deeper people who think deeper and really want to try to derive the message out of that video, it's a lot there to unpack.
Yeah, a lot to unpack. So let's just take a little break here. I'm going to grab a drink of water, and we're going to continue this conversation. We'll come right back.
Taking care of your sexual wellness is now easier than ever with Telache. Our new online telehealth solution allows you the convenience of attending your appointment from any quiet, safe space. Check out checlinic.org/Telache to learn more about this virtual solution, get a glimpse at the patient experience, or book your appointment. Stay safe, stay sexy, and stay ready with Telache.
So real quick, guys, I want to go around the room real quick, and I want to talk about just the song. And this is the thing. The video, in my opinion, is separate than the song. The song kind of came first, and he's talking about some very distinct things. And I'll leave an interview he did with Genius in the notes. But the song itself is very unique. And again, it has to do with the movie, but it has to do with what he's going through. So I wanted to just give my quick review of the song, and then I want to go around and to hear you guys' reviews of the song itself, separate from the video, just the song itself. In an interview, he says that you know, obviously right now we're in the middle of a pandemic, and so, you know, social distancing is a big thing. And so Nas says that he's very much like little not being near people. And he says he got a villa, or he said he got a timeshare. I don't know if he got the timeshare in L.A., in Hollywood, or if he got it in Mexico. I think he may have been in Hollywood. And so he can invite up, I'm assuming, to the Hollywood Hills to a party. And someone's, you know, he's like, it was good to have people out and see people face to face. And he says that there was like weed and cocaine on the table, which is pretty much L.A. Hollywood culture up in the hills. That's just part of no big deal society every day. And so he was associating with people for the first time. And so this is the song is talking about. And he had this experience, and he came back and started writing about it immediately. And he, at the same time, he had seen the movie, so he tied them all together. But for me, the song, that's what he's talking about in the song, in the words, cocaine and drinking with your friends. And there's a line in it that says, if Eve ain't in the garden, you know that you can. Which goes back to the video, but again, all these are just making references. And he says that had to do with, if your girlfriend's not around, you know, let's just be yourself for once. So Nas has come out before, and you know, he's talked about like being like a barb, you know, and he was resisting that because he said, quote, that he didn't want to be perceived as gay, or he didn't want people to know that he was gay. So it's not like he was just telling for the first time, but I think in this song, it's like the cornerstone of him coming to terms with where he stands within the community for the first time. So I like the song. It has pop culture references in it, but more so, it's really Nas for the first time really just, you know, getting out and saying what was really going on in his life, a real world experience. Jay?
I mean, growing up as a Hispanic culture and being baptized as in Catholic school and all that, I really didn't see much of the hate that maybe like Black folks or other Hispanic folks or even just gay folks in general may have experienced. But I mean, maybe I come from different backgrounds. So like the more I was forced into like the church, the more I just hated it. And the more I just wanted to get out. And then that's when I would start seeing like these crazy homophobes all over the internet and saying like how being gay was a choice or it was a sin or you're going to go to hell for that. So I definitely relate to Lil Nas on that. And you know, like even with my artwork that I do, it's pretty much satanic all day. And I piss off a lot of conservative Christians and I fucking love it. And so I kind of relate to Lil Nas on this because, you know, he is queer or gay or however you want he identifies as. And so am I. And it's that kind of artwork, that kind of, I guess, boldness, if you will, creativity, the artistic value of it, the shock value, if you want to call it that. That really gets people's attention. And I feel like that's why Gen Z and millennials, especially like the younger millennials, are really just praising this because it's really like, this is the truth. People with old conservative views are dead and dying. And that kind of way of thinking is dead and dying. And the people that want to keep that negative toxic culture alive, it's just now becoming the minority. Mm-hmm. And I think as we keep progressing with life and, you know, continuing on into the 2020s and then later on to the 2030s, you know, we'll look back at a time and be like, wait, gay people weren't even allowed to get married or that was like a sin or what, you know. It's like when I see multiracial people in relationships and they're saying, you know, gay marriage is should be illegal, and I'm like, newsflash, your marriage was illegal too at one point. So it's just, you know, stuff like that. I know it seems kind of toxic, but at the end of the day, it really does start the conversation up, and it really just makes people who may be in the closet or who may have struggled with religion maybe feel more accepted into the world.
Interesting. Jonathan, what's your thoughts about that? About the video? I mean, sorry, the song Montero.
Well, yeah, I noticed that the song was a little different from the video per se, but I mean, the song I did like as well, because I know he was kind of talking about, you know, again, meeting somebody during the COVID season, which I could relate to. I met somebody, you know, significant, and kind of, you know, digging them and stuff like that. And so I was listening to it, but that's kind of just what I got from it. And I mean, again, it's catchy. So I did like the song, and I like the video as well. So like I said, it's something that I bump, you know, now. So
yeah, that song's an earworm in my ear. Like you start hearing that, you know, that lick, that rip on it, and it's stuck in your brain for 4 or 5 days.
It's Capricorn. It's really,
yeah.
Capricorn. I had it blasting on repeat during like my Friday happy hour. It was great. Great song just to keep on. I love just how explicit the line "shoot a child in your mouth" while I'm writing,
like, I know,
just so visceral, but like hot at the same time. But right. Like, great. No, like kind of like what you said, Steve, and what I talked about a little earlier. Like, yes, yeah, so like he came out as queer. It hasn't really shown much in his music. It has in his like personal life and in social media. Like, he's very open about it, but here is a song, and that is just straight up talking about swallowing, which I love him for.
Right.
I mean, who doesn't like to swallow, right? I'm kidding. Edit that out. Actually, you know what? Keep it in. I like that.
That's also a double entendre, by the way.
It really is.
Hey, Satan, what's your opinion about the song?
Boy, I remember to unmute myself for this one. Hey, man, my opinion. You want to know about the lyrics or just the video?
The lyrics. Just the lyrics right now, and then we'll do.
The lyrics, man. To me, it is absolutely exhilarating to my soul, to my spirit, to see a young black brother break the chains of all the bullshit and be who he wants to be and express who he is and his thoughts about his treatment. Right. I mean, you can't really be any more of an activist, not just a musician, but an activist for self-expression, artistic liberty, you know, just grabbing 100% of all the freedoms you have here in America. And I'm a former U.S. Marine, so, you know, I was willing to die for these freedoms that Lil Nas now get to experience,
right,
and take advantage of. So yeah, man, just his freedom, his emancipation of his mind. You know, I heard Jonathan say earlier, you know, about financial compensation and about his money. Sometimes this shit ain't about money. I mean, I got all the money I need. I can make all the money I want, but I get out there doing shit like running for office, telling jokes, you know, being active in my community. And I don't give a fuck if I make a dime. I got all the money I need. I can generate the income that I need. And right. I'm sure that Lil Nas X, from his first horseback video, I'm sure he is now having a deep appreciation for what financial freedom brings you in a capitalistic society when everything is predicated on the fucking dollar bill, the financial markets, real estate, a basic minimum wage, and money. That's what this shit all boils down to. These Christians running around talking about, oh my God, don't say shit to offend my... No, you worship fucking money. That's why you want to keep Black people oppressed. That's why you don't want to pay a fucking living wage. That's why you want to offshore our labor. That's why you don't want unions to form. Because basically all this shit boils down to is money and the economic oppression of Black people, which has been prevalent ever since 1865, the abolishment of slavery, ever since 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation. Everything has been predicated on keeping us down. We had a short period of supposedly, what did they call it? What was that short period where we actually had African Americans in Senate? Reconstruction
period, yeah, right.
Yeah, we had that, and that shit went away quickly. Like, oh, hell no. We ain't gonna have these former slaves, you know, writing legislation and making it an equal and equitable system for all of us. So we gotta put these back in their place. And that's exactly what they did. And then they had the Jim Crow. And then, you know, we're the only people that actually have to have legislation passed for you motherfuckers to treat us right. Like, what kind of shit is that? And then people don't realize, you know, my people, which is why I do this, you know, I got two kids that's coming up. One just happens to be a member of the LGBTQA community. And I consider myself an alliance with them, you know, and equal member of the team to try to get civil rights and have people treated with this, you know, respect and dignity. So yeah, man, I'm so glad he made this video, and I love it. I love the visuals, especially the lap dance. God damn it. Yes, let's talk about it. The lap dance and the snapping of Satan's neck, which I guess that would have been me, and he basically taking the crown and saying, fuck you. No, I'm Satan now. Let's make this shit right. So yeah, I love everything about it, man. And he should be poured with accolades, music awards, Grammys, fucking, let's see if he get anything from the NAACP. Let's see if he gets anything. That would be like the chart topper for me. Because I know with all of my years of dealing with the NAACP, they don't like nobody that goes or questions Jesus. Yeah. And that keeps us back as a people. You know, that's another thing that divides us amongst each other. Because, you know, I know it from running for state senate that Black people, if they hear you ain't with Jesus, they cannot support you. Because it goes against what their grandmama told them about going to heaven.
Right.
I give all praise and thanks to Lil Nas X for knocking on the door of consciousness, especially of Black people.
So from emancipation to reconstruction to Jim Crow to Lil Nas's ex Montero, we've come a long way, baby, huh?
Boy, we moving. We moving at warp speed right now.
Warp speed. All right, let's take a little break. We'll come back and talk directly about the video impact and final thoughts. We'll be right back.
Looking for a pharmacy partner with expertise in sexual health, PrEP, HIV, or gender-affirming care? AVITA's specially certified pharmacy teams understand how to address the needs of communities who are most affected by complex health conditions and who often face very unique challenges in healthcare. Our teams work hard behind the scenes to coordinate your refills, work with your insurance, and enroll you in any financial assistance programs you qualify for. We want our patients to feel deeply understood, cared for, and empowered to reach their full potential for health. With AVITA, you get the compassionate care you deserve. To learn more about PrEP for your sexual health, visit avitapharmacy.com/PrEP. That's AVITA pharmacy.com /PREP. Thank you.
Same question too, because I think this pushes the culture forward. I think we make progress off this video.
Cool. Then let's talk about that. I want to go around the room real quick. We're back, everybody. And I want to talk. I have a question that I wrote down here. I want us to answer. I want to get you guys' opinion. I said pop culture and the LGBT community before and after Montero. I want to start with you, Tapcon.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great. I think it is definitely like a stepping stone milestone moment, especially for him as an artist. You know, kind of like Satan was saying, he's come out with plenty of hits in the last couple of years. He has this financial freedom to express himself without any, I don't say without repercussions, but like he has the freedom and the platform and the money to do this now. And he's using the platform great. And then hopefully that inspires everyone else to do the same.
What about you? What about you, Jonathan? Thoughts on that?
I think he is a trailblazer. I think that he has opened a door for a lot of people to come out and be themselves and be authentically, you know, just organically themselves. And I mean, I'm appreciative of that. I'm curious to see what's going to happen now. I think a lot of people are going to start coming out. I think a lot of people are going to start being transparent about who they are, what they are, and who they're with. So yeah, I think it's going to change the game. I do.
Cool. And you there, Jay, pop culture before and the LGBT community before and after Montero?
I mean, you know, in the 80s, there was this genre of punk called queercore, and it was basically, you know, like punk music, but for queer and gay LGBTQ plus people. And that was just the start. I feel like in the 90s, we started seeing more representation with gays on television, you know, like Will and Grace, stuff like that. Every now and then you saw it on the Golden Girls, good shows. And then in the 2000s, you know, that was during like the emo scene, MySpace days, where people were basically quote unquote gender bending and, you know, just kind of breaking the rules of societal norms since I want to say since like the 80s. And then of course, fast forward to 2010s, you know, Facebook's the thing and there's gay rights being, you know, out there, like the legalization of gay marriage. And so in the 2020s, specifically this year, 2021, I feel like Lil Nas did open the floodgates to a lot of more artists being true to themselves, basically not holding back as much, you know. I guess, as I said before, every year we get more and more away from these old quote unquote traditional normal values unquote. And now people are just being themselves because people are not ABCD. I mean, there's people that are XYZ or 1, 2, 3. And so I feel like Lil Nas being true to himself, while it wasn't like the most, like, how do you say, extravagant or the most, like, you know, this is the most progressive way. Cause I've seen other gays basically say this is blasphemy and condemning him. I'm sorry, but those are just little views that I don't agree with. And I feel like more artists are going to come out. More kids are going to be accepted. Gen Z is already way outer than most generations ever historically. And that's second to millennials, or millennials second place. So I feel like, yeah, a lot of people will maybe be more comfortable in their own skin and won't be as afraid as we start to normalize, you know, being a human being, regardless of your sexuality, race, or religion.
Cool. Satan, your opinion, pop culture and the LGBT community before and after Montero.
All right. Yeah, man. Jonathan made a reference to Lil Nas knocking on the door. I don't think he knocked on the door. I think he kicked the motherfucker in. And that's exactly what we need. Our politicians are so weak and bought off, and they're basically part of the just inherent of the system. They are part of our problem. The pastors, the preachers who sell themselves out to the politicians, you know, these politicians make one-stop shopping when they're campaigning for black people. They fucking run to the black church and go, okay, we got these Negroes covered. So yeah, to see him do this kicks up a level to the LGBTQA community. This definitely moves the ball, man. And that's what we got to keep doing. We can't be complacent. We can't be laxed. We can't be happy with our situation because Jesus and all that shit, and we're going to go to heaven. Fuck that. We got to fight now for our kids on earth so they can have the same kind of American existence that white people had in the 1950s. We got to be a part of that shit. You know, when fucking Ward Cleaver went off to work and mom could stay at home and teach the kids and nurture the kids, right, and teach them these ethics and morals and how you should act within a society with rules and laws. Yeah, you know, we want to be part of that bullshit. But the way I see it, there's a resistance. There's a backlash to any kind of advancement that black people make.
Right.
There's a backlash. You know, Barack Obama got elected 2008. What do we have in 2010 at the midterms? We had the Tea Party. That was a backlash to Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And that's what brought us Donald the fuck Trump.
I mean, I have to agree with you on that. Anytime there's any minority, black lives, brown lives,
advancement.
Yeah, anything that's not white, straight, and Christian, it gets shit for it. By not everyone, but you know, the people who are in the social media department, people who are on the news, politicians. I mean, again, if you're not white, straight, and Christian, blonde hair, blue eyed, you know, you're pretty much you can't advance in the U.S. at least.
Yeah, those are the American judges. They sit back and they fucking judge everyone else while they fucking, you know, forget that they stole the land from the Indians. They stole the labor from Africa with black people. And they have, you know, basically have laws that stipulate, like redlining and our prison, you know, our judicial system, that basically stimulate that black people will not ever fucking be treated fairly because they wanted to be free. Now, how can you punish a man for wanting to be free? The same bullshit they talk about all the time, their freedom, 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 freedom. All those people January 6th at the Capitol, storming the Capitol, disrespecting police. I'm a retired peace officer. So that shit brought a whole new different meaning to me. You're going to beat to death a fucking police with a Blue Lives Matter flag. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, that was...
You know, everybody wants to, no more playing it off. It's time for us to quit fucking playing. We're at war here.
Some deep thoughts there. I appreciate it. Let's take a little break and we'll be right back. Thank you, Satan.
Taking care of your sexual wellness is now easier than ever with Telache. Our new online telehealth solution allows you the convenience of attending your appointment from any quiet, safe space. Check out checlinic.org/teleche to learn more about this virtual solution, get a glimpse at the patient experience, or book your appointment. Stay safe, stay sexy, and stay ready with Teleche.
Okay, so we're back. This is harder than I thought. I asked the question, which I really couldn't even figure out myself. So I'm gonna go first because my question was, what was your favorite point or part of the video? The one thing I liked the most about it was the fact that he played all the characters. You know, if somebody's gonna get mad at, dude, that's him kissing another guy. Dude, he's kissing himself in the video, you numbskull. So that's the humor of it. You know, no one killed him; he killed himself. You know, he's fighting against himself. So I thought that was interesting. But the imagery of the garden was mind-blowing. In the Kabbalah, it talks about the tree of life. And I think it's Chesed is like the fourth one down, C-H-E-S-E-D. That's a realm. And that's where the Garden of Eden was, in the Light Kingdom. And that's what that place looked like. It looked like an image from the Light Kingdom as described in the Kabbalah's beliefs. So I thought the beauty of it was amazing and mind-blowing. So those are my two favorite parts about it. The writing of the tree was also interesting. I'll leave a note that, but those are my favorite parts of the video. That's the best I can do for my own dumbass question. So I'll send around the room. You guys are all much brighter than I am. Give me your thoughts about it, if you can. If not, believe me, I understand. Jonathan.
I mean, to be transparent, my favorite part was when the stripper pole came up and he grabbed it. I mean, that's just like, you know, that's that moment when a superhero really becomes a superhero. Like, that's when, you know, Clark can't become Superman, or he realizes he's Superman. Like, wow. That's how I took it. It's like, oh, he really took what people threw at him and he owned it and made it, you know, who it was. And that leveled him up. You know what I'm saying?
It was
really nice. So that was my favorite part.
Defcon, what was yours?
I mean, again, it's all just hot. But like the fashion, the outfits, the whole visual design of it, but like all these different outfits were just such high femme queer fashion.
Right.
That there was so much homages, so much subtext. In every single look, you know, those boots that he had, like going down the pole, like I thought all of that was just so spot on.
Right, nice. Satan, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, my two favorite parts of the video is one, taking the pole dance express down the hill. And two, establishing, you know, luring in Satan with a fucking lap dance and then snapping his goddamn neck saying, no, if I'm going to hell, I'm in charge. That's basically what it means to me. I'm like, you know, my stage name's been Satan for at least 5 years when I met Lucian Frazier in St. Louis and decided to devote my life to Satan. I've been a Satanist for that long. And to see someone else with just an inkling, a glimpse of understanding how I feel
right
about religion and freedom in America. I mean, this shit is coming from a former United States Marine, a retired peace officer. I have people in my family who fought wars ever since the goddamn Civil War in America. My father was in World War II. My brother's in Vietnam. I got another brother that's a retired Marine. So, you know, coming from that perspective, and then just watching, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, Lamir Rice, Breonna Taylor, you know, Mike Brown, Eric Gardner, George Floyd, and then watching how freedom and justice never reaches us. It's like, no, fuck you. If you guys are in charge, fuck you. I will go to hell, fuck up Satan, and come back and fuck you up. That's right. Everybody ready to talk. You know, all these black people sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back. Goddammit. Is Satan coming back? Is Satan coming back? How do we know he's the bad guy? We don't hear from Jesus or Satan. So how the fuck do we know the truth? So I'm rolling with Satan. With the shit I see in America, I'm going to go ahead and roll with Satan. Shit, I'll take my chances with that motherfucker. I get it. Shit. Fuck Jesus.
Well, to be honest with you guys, don't be alarmed out there. Everything's under control because Lil Nas X rules in hell. So we'll be right back.
Exactly.
Oh, you forgot mine.
Oh, we forgot yours? Okay. Yeah. What's up, Jay? So what is your thought about that?
Well, I have to agree with Satan 110%. I mean, how do we know Satan wasn't the good guy? We don't know that. It's been altered many times. Did God fax us a memo or an update? I didn't get no update on my phone. An alert emergency system, you know? I mean, so my favorite part, though, was when he was coming down the pole And I was like, damn, that's a nice bulge. I was like, Lil Nas packing shit. And then of course, he's in the, you know, hell with Satan doing that sexy ass lap dance. And I just couldn't stop thinking of Robert Rodriguez from Dusk Till Dawn, where they're in this sexy ass club and these beautiful girls dancing. And then they all become demons. And I was like, oh shit, that's intense. And I thought it was going to be like a classy horror film. And I was like, nope, you got big girls with big tits dancing like all crazy. So I was like, good for Lil Nas X showing off his bulge and giving that man a beautiful lap dance. I was jealous of the moves, man. I was like, man, if I could dance like that, I'd be making coin. Like, I you know how people say make it rain? People who throw dimes at me, like, say make it hail.
Okay. I gotta stop laughing. We'll be right back. I'm gonna take a small break and we're gonna come back for some final thoughts. Be right back.
Taking care of your sexual wellness is now easier than ever with Telache. Our new online telehealth solution allows you the convenience of attending your appointment from any quiet, safe space. Check out checlinic.org/telache to learn more about this virtual solution, get a glimpse at the patient experience, or book your appointment. Stay safe, stay sexy, and stay ready with Telache.
To learn more about Che Relief, visit us on Instagram where our handle is @CheClinic or our website, CheRelief.org. Thank you.
We're back for our last here, quick final thoughts, but I want to go to you quick, Satan. I wanted you to talk a little bit about the temple a little bit first before we go into your final thought. And I want you to get, what's his name, Lucian?
Yeah, Lucian Greig.
Lucian, I'd like you to get Lucian on the show if we can do that in the future.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he'll come on. That's my boy. He'll come on.
Give me your thoughts real quick about your final thoughts for this show. This has been a great episode, by the way. I really appreciate you coming out here. I think you're a great person, and I love talking to you. So give me your final thoughts.
My final thoughts is, listen, you don't have to be gay or transgender or a lesbian to understand that everyone needs to be treated with dignity and respect. Because let me tell you something. I'm Satan. Satan is the farthest thing away from gay as you'll ever see. Matter of fact, Satan will eat pussy off a dirty plate. I ain't gay. But I am black. So I understand how it feels to be treated less than anyone else. You're not inferior. And no one else is superior above you. So basically, you are your God. That's why I like Lil Nas X snapping Satan's neck, saying, no, you don't have the fucking power. I have the power. I'm my own God. I'm my own Satan. So, you know, that's my final thoughts on it, man. It's just righteous fucking treatment of all human beings. You know, the Satanic Temple has 7 tenets that they follow, which are much better, far superior than the 10 commandments. And for me, though, for Satan, I got one fucking tenet. Don't be a goddamn asshole. That's it. Don't be an asshole. Treat people with dignity and respect, and they have just as much right to be on earth as you do. So that's Satan's thought on that.
Love it. Jonathan?
And so we're just doing a synopsis?
Yeah, just doing a final thought. It's kind of hard to follow the final thought of Satan. It's like being at the comedy store when somebody kills the main room stage and then you got to go on next. I get it, but final thoughts anyway.
Yeah, final thoughts. Again, I mean, the video, the imagery was so nice. Again, he is a trailblazer. Lil Nas, trailblazer. It was genius. And the song is actually, like I said, it's catchy too. So it's something that I'm jamming to and from the work or to the gym. It's a vibe. So, like I said, I've appreciated the work that he's done and I'm looking forward to what he has in store for us in the future. So Everything was pretty dope.
Tapicon.
Yeah, kind of like Satan said. I'm never gonna get used to that. Kind of like Satan said, you're in charge of your own narrative.
Yeah, you've been mentally conditioned to resist Satan as a negative connotation, which you never talk to Satan, so you don't understand. I'm the good motherfucker.
No, I feel you. I feel you. I grew up very Buddhist, so I'm very detached from that whole area of things. I just knew not to say it. But yeah, you're in charge of your own narrative. You know, you don't get to get these people, you know, whether it be fans, whether it be community, whether it be religion, you don't get to let them, or they don't get to tell you, you know, where you're going to end up after you die and like where, how you're going to be judged or all that. It's your life. And just take hold of it.
Love it. Jay, me? You? All right, good, Jay.
Shit, the morning. Sorry, I say morning as it with the U. The moral of what I got out of that video was, if you're in hell and you see Satan, give him a fucking lap dance. And be your fucking self.
I love it.
Yeah. Might end up in a violent breaking of some vertebrae, but it's okay.
I mean, you might like it. Don't knock it.
Well, this is a great show, everybody. Thank you for listening. Hope you're having fun out there. Thank you guys all for being here. I appreciate you, Jonathan. I appreciate you, Tapacon. I appreciate you, Jay. And I appreciate talking to you too, Satan. I don't think I've ever said that before. Good conversation, Satan. That's a nice little ring to it. My fun.
Yeah. All glory goes to Satan.
Yeah.
My final thoughts were, I'm glad we had this conversation about pop culture. Nas, if anything, this moment has moved the needle, you know, I think in a certain direction, because it invokes conversation. And through conversation, we grow closer as a society and as a people. And that's what it's all about. And of course, seven steps of denial, something like that, where people, you know, the first one is anger and the last one is acceptance. So society, culture is going through that right now. And that's thanks to Lil Nas deciding, you know what, this is a great song, but I have to make it something great. I've got to make this a pop culture moment. And so he made a video that just was a troll. Was one of the best trolls of the year. And that troll is going to award him. It's going to award him notoriety. It's going to award him the ability to address controversy. Like Prince had a song called Controversy. This is taking it to a whole new level. And in the end, you know, if you think he's sad, he's going to be crying all the way to the bank, probably with two Grammys in his hand. So thank you guys for listening. Thanks for being here, everybody. And for all you out there, wherever you are, be safe, have fun, and enjoy the apocalypse. And thanks for joining us, Satan.
All good.
Talk to y'all later.
Hail Satan.
Bye.
Hail Satan.
Bye. That's our show. Thank you for listening. Please like and share.
Strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason.
Be safe, have fun, and stay awesome.